Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
That always makes me feel good. So,
thank
great.
You.
I'm glad you're here.
All right. Gary, do you have a poem for us?
Yeah, but let me finish eating, and then I'll share.
Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about tonight is what does it mean to be a man? What does that mean? What does it mean to be a man? And that's something as I continue my journey, and I'm pretty old, I'm still trying to figure out. So what I'd like to do is to play a piece by a poet, spoken word artist. His name is October Zero, and it's called Grown Man Poetry.
Yo, October back with the real rap, real yap. Still got the NY fitted cap, still back. Walking with the mean diddy bop through the city blocks. Burn a whole Philly box. Chill, I gotta really stop. South Bronx, gold child, looking all grown now. Everybody turned up, keep a fleek profile. This is grown man poetry. I know the streets, Upper West, Lower East, Coney Island, Orchard Beach. I'm from the old school, boombox, blue tops. Party on the rooftop, Larry Davis, shoot cops. Blocker, before the Biggie Tupac feud. Pop, hip hop in my city was the truth. Stop stunting. Therapeutic music for the strap hanger. Straight out the mind of the Manhattan tag banger. Mad Vandu all city with the 450. That's the boss in me, y'all. Come and walk with me. Hey, I woke up feeling like an OG. I'm all grown up, lost all my homies. Chill, youngin', ain't nothing you can show me. I got my own G. Grown man poetry. Hey, I woke up feeling like an OG. I'm all grown up, lost all my homies. Chill, youngin', ain't nothing you can show me. I got my own G. Grown man poetry. Leader of the true school, 5 stars, 5 stripes. Big apple, 5 boroughs, trying to get a pie slice. When y'all was sneaking up in home base limelight, I was trying to sneak up in the sauce for them 5 mics. Long way from them broke blocks, dope spots so hot, don't stop, different from the go-bots. This is grown man spit for the new era. Somebody stole the truth, sold it to the bootlegger. Whatever, you know life is like a movie. Gotta show my little man how to move smoothly. Swerving in the city with the fiends still burning it. Police murdering, riots out in Ferguson. We used to do it in the dark at the park jam. Now we live by the code of the boss gang. Fam, this is grown man poetry. OG, still don't know nobody that could flow with me. Hey, I woke up feeling like an OG. I'm all grown up, lost all my homies. Chill, youngin', ain't nothing you can show me. I got my own G. Grown man poetry. Hey, I woke up feeling like an OG. I'm all grown up, lost all my homies. Chill, youngin', ain't nothing you can show me. I got my own G. Grown man poetry. Hey, I woke up feeling like an OG. I'm all grown up, lost all my homies. Chill, youngin', ain't nothing you can show me. I got my own G. Grown man poetry. Hey, I woke up feeling like an OG. I'm all grown up, lost all my homies. Chill, youngin', ain't nothing you can show me. I got my own G. Grown man poetry.
Grown man poetry. That was October Zero, grown man poetry. And as I shared earlier, what does it mean to be a man? And also, too, what does it mean to be a woman? As we continue the journey of life, what does it mean? I think that's the question of tonight. Poetry does not always need to focus on that particular topic, but I just think that's a good question. We have another call on the line. I'd like to bring this person on. She, again, is one of our regulars and one of our favorites, and I will bring her on right now. Hello, Valerie.
Thank you, Michael. This is Valerie from Maine. Thank you. I didn't know I was one of your favorites. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. Of course. My 3 favorites are on the line, Gary, Kofi, and you. So.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Kofi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hi, Kofi.
He's on mute. Kofi's on a train, on the metro train, headed home, and he lives a long distance from here, but he tunes in every week. He signed in earlier and spoke. So, again, Kofi's always with us, and that's a beautiful thing. So, Valerie, what's been happening in the state of Maine? What's been happening in the state of Maine?
What has been happening in the state of Maine? The leaves are beautiful. It's fall. And tomorrow, this is the real reason I called. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is is National Poetry Day, and the theme is light.
Tomorrow is National Poetry Day?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And the theme is light?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Wow. Well, let me share that message then with the thousands of people who listen to the weekly Power Poetics radio show, that tomorrow is National Poetry Day, and the theme is light. I guess light in all its different forms, any kind of light?
That's all it says. The theme is light. So I've written a couple things, you know, thinking about the daylight savings time and, you know, there's less daylight now that it's getting colder and, you know, things like that. I think you used to great about anything about a light.
Well, okay. Well, hey, Valerie, since tomorrow is National Poetry Day and you were the person who brought it up to us, to our attention, hey, share some of the poems that you've written about light.
Well, I have one. It's actually called Light, and it's in my book. It's in details. I feel like I read from this a lot, but these are my favorite poems.
Right.
So this is called Light, and I wrote this probably 2 or 3 years ago, so it's kind of dated. Light. I want disco ball light abduction. I want the muse to invite me, ignite me, excite me, delight me, hold me tightly, feeling moldy and cursed, wishing time could be reversed to the oasis. The end.
Wow. One more time, Valerie. You know you're my one more time person. All right.
This is called Light.
All right.
I want disco ball light abduction. I want the muse to invite me, ignite me, excite me, hold me tightly, feeling moldy and cursed, wishing time could be reversed to the oasis. The end.
That first line about the disco ball, that really touched me for some reason. I'm not sure why. And actually, that's one of your longer pieces. I think it's probably one of the longest ones that you've read.
It's one of my longer poems. And
right.
You were talking about, what does it mean to be a man? Well, how to be a real woman is one of my longer pieces, too.
I remember that. Is that the one you cited some time ago? Doing National Women's History Month?
Yes, yes.
Okay, wow. Well, if you have time, I want you to recite that again. I really like that. Talk about your inspiration about that particular poem, which is really, really nice.
For Light?
Yeah.
I was talking about, I wish I was younger. I feel moldy and cursed. You know, I wish time could be reversed. You know, what's an oasis? A paradise. What's paradise? Paradise, we think we're there when we're younger. You know, we have that sense of invincibility. So it's like,
right. Gary, you have any thoughts? Did you think about Valerie's piece about light?
Oh, yeah. I admired the piece. And,
Gary.
Huh?
What did you admire about it, my friend?
Well, what she, the positive vibe that it gave off to me, it was a positive, and it just reinforced the light that's within me.
Right.
And I think we should all shine.
Mhm. Mhm. I had planned to say hello to and also send out prayers to those people in South Carolina after the big storm and other places in the South and sometimes in the Mideast, not so much the Mideast, well, it could be the Mideast, well, this is where the storms are located you know, in terms of those people who lost a lot of things. I'm sorry, and also to the people in Oregon, in terms of the tragedy there. You know, it's funny about light. I moved to Washington, D.C. from Oregon, and I was there in Oregon for 14 years, and it's a very beautiful place. So to know that that type of tragedy or situation could take place anywhere is just something to think about. All right. So light. Wow. We need light. We really need light in this world to lead us somewhere. All right. Gary, you got a poem for us, my friend?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready.
Right. Okay, my friend. You're on.
All right, this is part two of a piece called Trifling, and it's called Part Two, Trifling Kings. Like I said, I hope trifling is not you, also king. You know the brother that got down on one knee and asked and then later took back the ring because she wouldn't heed to his royal commands by answering questions like, where you been? Who you talking to? Who you been with? Did I see you smile at another man? Hooked up with a strong, independent woman that hesitant to bend toward his jealous demands. Insecure, borderline abusive. Not enough or too much of self-esteem. It's a bottle for me for someone who's supposed to be on your team and the basic ingredients of a trifling king that thinks his penis is the next big thing. Or the brother who won't support his seeds. Silence drummers marching to a dead beat. If life was Hollywood, we got real like actors pretending to be men, acting like little boys, suffering from defeat, fallen soldiers, casualty of not taking care of their responsibilities, angry terrorists administering domestic violence to their spouse, while others succumb to unemployment due to laziness, drugs, alcohol, or any other excuse not to leave their mama's house. Some brothers are more concerned about rims, cars, and money and wealth, but won't go get an annual physical, see a doctor or a pastor. They are less concerned about the current state of their physical and spiritual health. What's the culprit behind the garrison of men vacating their leadership position? There are too many champions refusing to fight, too many Air Force Ones refusing to take flight, too many Jordans stuck in the miry clay. Too many married Davids lusting after Bathsheba, trying to play. Too many Samsons letting stripper Delilah play in their hair, stroking his ego and stripping his wallet on Friday night, and then lying on dick on Saturday while sitting in the barber's chair. What make a boy not want to be a responsible man? Anger, afraid of commitment, video games, drugs, sex addiction, a broken childhood, lack of determination. No ambition, lack of vision, no dreams, no desires, no hope, no faith, no way, no guidance, no directions, some of which may be a hindrance. Yet, again, I ask, what make a prince not want to be a king? Well, anything short of not willing to try is simply plain old trifling, and I hope trifling is not you. That's it.
You know, Gary, sometimes you take my breath away with your poetry. You know, that's the kind of piece, man. That
Very nice, Gary.
Yes.
Thank you.
I mean, I could ask you 5,000 questions about that particular piece in terms of breaking it down to all the different things that you talked about and you... I can hear your voice, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, and the way that you, you know, the tones and the way that you share the nuances of the words. Talk a little about that piece. When did you write it, and what was the catalyst that particular time for you writing a piece of poetry?
Actually, I wrote this in October 2nd, 2013. But I wrote this after writing part one, which I have a conversation with a lady friend of mine at the time, and we were just talking about how men and women can be trifling. Anyway, I wrote the first part, and I read it to her, and she liked it and everything, but she said, you know, what about the other aspect? What about the trifling men? And that what made me write that part two. for, you know, and that's what inspired out of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. This week I had an opportunity to serve as a guest educator and a substitute teacher in an elementary school, and I work with kindergartners. And that was really, really something. The little boys were all over me, holding my hands and leaning on me. I mean, it just made me feel that potentially they needed male role models in their lives. I can't say that they didn't have them. But just the way that they were just so, what's the word?
Gary. Drawn to me.
Yes. Yes.
Drawn. They notice your sphere of influence. We all have that, and when you are a positive ball of whatever, especially positive energy, people are drawn to that, you know, and they recognize that, because I think especially as a young boy, we all adhere to something that's bigger and greater than us, you know. Whether, you know, and it's a young boy, they don't understand the nuances of God or what is God. They gravitate toward a male, and some of them choose the wrong male to emulate until they. Right. And some, you know, at an early age when they're introduced to Christ. But I think because we are created from a being that's greater than us, we're always going to gravitate to something that's within us. And like I said, as a young boy, it started with gravitating toward our fathers or other men in our lives. And then it goes on from there after we are introduced to Christ, if we are fortunate to have someone in our life that will introduce us to that.
Yes. Valerie, you were going to make a statement.
I agree with everything Gary is saying. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, these little African Americans.
Yes, I didn't want to bust in on your male role model at discussion, though.
Right, right. But it's true.
It's all true.
It is. These little African American kids, these little guys, you know, it was funny. I had to escort them to the restroom. And I said to them, walk like a man. Stand up straight, your back erect, and walk like a man. And they were like, Dr. Ingram? Am I walking like a man? I said, yes, you are. You are walking like a man. Dr. Ingram? Well, this one guy who threw a rubber ball and hit me upside the head. Which, and he also called me Mr. Bobo Head, which you know, didn't help. And, of course, all the kids laughed. But, excuse me. But it was a great day. Sorry. It was a great day to have an opportunity to work with those kids, because that's where we start. Elementary.
It sounds like a great day.
It was. You know, what I'm going to do is take a little break, and I'll be right back. We'll be right back. This is the Power Poetics with the D.C. Poetry Project with our favorite people on the line. So, again, call in at 646-716-8754, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Power of Poetics. What I'd like to do now, you know, because we have an international audience, I'd like to play a piece by a gentleman from Hungary, if that's okay. Is that okay?
It's okay.
All right. His name is Mark, a.k.a. Said, and it's in Hungarian. And then I'll do the translation in English. All right, here we go.
Emlékszel?
Emlékszel?
Azt mondta, nem fog menni.
Azt mondta, nem fog menni.
Azt mondta neked, nem motivál senki és semmi. hogy ennél biztos nem tudsz többet, aztán több lesz, és maga is döbbent, ahogy dobbant a szív. De azt mondta, ami benned van, mégsem lehet a tied. Emlékszel?
Emlékszel.
Azt mondta, nem vagy elég.
Azt mondta, nem vagy elég.
Türelmes belé.
Türelmes belé.
De ki mondja, hogy én nem lehetek az enyém? A ki, ha én nemet, kinyomhatja el, ki, ha nem én? Emlékszel?
Emlékszel?
Odakint minden sötét, bent minden világos. Talán most lesz az, hogy nem azt mondod, talán most.
Talán most.
Na már most ő is, te vagy első szám, harmadik szem. Élj a lehetőséggel, a szem előtt szépen is, a remegő kézzel is, de vezesd. Minden nap megújíthatod a teremtés művét, hogy megzengesd a szürkét. Emlékszel?
Emlékszel?
Színt vinni, változni vagy változtatni. Ne siess, ott vagy a közepén.
Ott, vagy a
ott
közepén.
Vagyunk veled. A történeted végtelen, nincs olyan, hogy belebuksz, olyanokra képes vagy, amit talán még te sem tudsz. Mindegy milyen szinten belőled a minden szól, ott vagyunk veled, mindig, mindenhol. Mutasd, amit tudsz. Tudd, hogy mit mutatsz az elméddel. Azt mondtad, neked nem lehet ma fennköltöttet, mit lent költünk szóból, időből és helyből többet. Emlékszel?
Emlékszel.
A történeted végtelen, nincs olyan, hogy belebuksz.
All right. That was Subveg, Mark a.k.a. Saeed from Hungary. And there's no title to that piece, but these are the words in English based on the translation. Only the tears of pain tell you how much I miss you and how much it hurts. You're not here with me. You went and took it along with you to the light. There was only cold dark. Please give yourself. Please give yourself shine. Please give me more of yourself. Although I know that there but I am, only I who cannot stand it. He is not the one. It's so nice, but I cannot reach you. I am a little tired, and you're far away, but you can be there at the end of the road. You'll be there with me, but in the meantime, only the tears of pain. I tell you how much I miss you and how much it hurts. You're not here with me. You went and took it along with you to the light. There was only cold dark. My life, it had just been so good, and I've lost everything. In order to feel, to learn, that I may know, I sing how much I miss you. Slowly, I feel you, I taste you, I am a part of you, and yet, there in me, you're not there. Give yourself, please give yourself the light. Please give me more of yourself. Please give me more of the light. Please give me more of yourself. Please give me more. Please give me more of yourself. Please give me more of yourself. Help me as I'm losing everything. Please give of yourself. Please give yourself light. Help me because I'm losing everything. Wow, that was pretty powerful.
It's universal in any language.
Any language. Any language. Any language. The power of light, the power of words, and the power of feelings and emotions that people have an opportunity to express through poetry, to get it out of their systems, to just let it go, to let it flee, to let it fly, to wherever it goes, wherever it lands, whether it lands in a good place or a bad place, just an opportunity to do it. Valerie, do you have another piece for us?
I have one more piece for you, and then I've got to go.
Okay.
I wrote this in October, and boy, are we getting original with these titles. This is called October. The trees are rusting and dying. The air is losing its heat and freezing to my windshield. Scrape, 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 scrape. Ugh. Flying down the road with Gordon, I wonder if he is going further than she allows. Yeah.
Wow.
And Gordon is, I meant to tell you about this before, Gordon is Gordon Sumner, who is also known as Sting. I was listening to a lot of Sting when I wrote this, so there you go.
Do you remember the song, I Love Sting? You remember the song?
Of course I do. It's She's Too Good for Me.
Sting. All right. That's beautiful. You know, that particular one, I think I got it on the first go-round. I mean, you put so much emphasis in terms of the emotion in it. Valerie, you're great. You're great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being with us, and hopefully you'll join us again, whether it's next week or in the future. Valerie from Maine. All right. Take care, Valerie.
Okay. Bye. Bye, everybody. Bye, Gary. Bye, Kofi.
All right. All right, my friend in Alabama. What's been happening in Alabama?
Oh, man, just work. Working on this lesson. I teach men's ministry, and I'm working on this lesson called Living Life on Purpose. Excited about doing that, and I'm also got to do this poem at this men's conference Friday night, and I'm anxious, we're excited about doing also.
All right, wow. So, again, talking about what it means to be a man is relatively apropos since you've got a men's conference coming up and you plan to share a poem. Would you like to share it with us?
Yeah, sure. I think it's called Greater Is He because that's the name of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Attention, my brothers. Far too many atoms are settling to being reduced to tiny, defeated particles of angry atoms, or pitiful, prideful anatomies suffering from atrocious abnormalities, forgetting they were molded from the most plentiful substance on earth. Rich, black topsoil that's worth more value than gold saturated in dirt. Earthen vessels of clay filled with buried treasure that should be on a hilltop shining like greater is he. Yet they are harboring hidden addictions, beaten up by pain, anger, hurt, and past regrets. Now burden bearers, burdened down and buried on a mountain of debt, owed to their forsaken seeds and the carrier of life. Their praying mothers and grandmothers, support for sisters or faithful wives. Abandoned at home, throneless kings have abdicated their royal responsibilities and forced lonely students to study life alone, no assistance from a positive mentor. Unemployed, low wages or the four-year degree can't pay the student loan, the mortgage or rent, behind on child support, stressed and perplexed, fist gripped pocket lined with lint that was just recently handcuffed, released from the steel belly of the beast, outlook bleak, no paycheck. Cold black eyes stares at a blank reality. Broken relationships, failed marriages, rebellious children, terrors, police brutality, gangs, and other daily threats to the survival of the fittest. In a world filled with imps on the prowl, armed with tricks and treats, curvy, sweet, sexy temptations ready to satisfy the pride of life, lust of the flesh, and lust of the eyes, that's deceitfully greater than he. Feeling washed up with a laundry list of issues that life keep on issuing, trigger-happy fingers are dangerously playing Russian roulette, gambling the very essence of their soul with the enemy. Gentlemen, have we become so gentle, weak, fragile, and broken that we have forgot who we are and whose we are? Have we lost the way to what it means to be a man and helping others to become a man? Foolishly devoid of hope, having overused the worn-out excuses. Lord, you know my heart. Man, ain't nobody perfect. Lord knows I'm weak. Well, excuse me, brothers, but I'm just trying to be my brother's keeper. See, in this race, having realized we all had a propensity to sin, yet we also have the victory to win, power granted to us by a risen Savior. Because greater is he that is in you, greater than David that slayed Goliath, and greater than Samson. But hold up, Brother Malone. What about Bathsheba and Delilah and other cardinal weaknesses like power, money, and greed? Well, brother, art thou not greater than these? See, Joseph was greater than the pit he was thrown in, and Pharaoh's army may have been greater than Moses. The lions may have been greater than Daniel. The great whale may have been greater than Jonah. The fiery furnace hotter and greater than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. However, neither was greater than their holy companion. See, you are of God, and you have overcome them, because greater is he. Therefore, you are more than a conqueror, and you are more than a champion. You are sons of the real king. You are greater than the prince of darkness and greater than the enemy. You are greater than your debt and greater than your strongest weaknesses. Brothers, nothing you have done is too great that you can't be forgiven. See, once was lost, but great is the cross. Greater is he that hung, died, and rose again. Greater is he that created you in his image. Now imagine that. You are anointed, handcrafted, original master's piece. My brothers, greater is the truth to make greater your faith. Greater is he, the light, and greater is the straight and narrow way. Greater is he who gave you life and the air to breathe. Greater is he who is greater than death, and nothing is so great that can separate you from him. So you are of God, and greater is he. Greater is his mercy and his grace. Greater is his understanding, his wisdom, and his power. Greater is his word to walk on water and calm the angry sea. Greater is his joy, his love, and his peace. Greater is his spirit which abound with fruit, for greater than he that is in the world, because, brothers, greater is he that is in you. That's at peace.
Now, you stated earlier that you felt a sense of anxiety about reciting it at the men's conference. Why?
Huh?
Let me ask. You said that you felt something. You said you felt some sense of anxiety about reciting the piece at the men's conference, and I was wondering why.
Oh no, I didn't mean anxiety. I meant I was anxious to
anxious.
No, there's no anxiety. I meant anxious. I'm sorry. No, I'm
okay.
Just, I'm excited. I'm excited. I feel like the poem has a powerful message, and then to have this opportunity to reach and inspire other men, you know, that they can, to inspire them to, if not one of them, walk away with the message that greater is he that is within you. I mean, and I'm excited about just trying to reach that. It's just nothing but that one,
mm-hmm.
If only that one.
You know, this upcoming weekend is the anniversary of the Million Man March that took place in 1995. And they're expecting thousands of men to march again. So that was 1995. This is 2015. This is the 20th year or the 15th year. I'm recovering from a cold, so I can't think of anything. Is it the 20th or the 15th year?
Let me ask you, what did you take from that piece, or did you take anything from it?
Oh, you know, I took a lot from it the last time that you shared it. What I took from it is that you want, based on my interpretation, is for men to stay away from or refrain from making excuses in terms of why they're not doing what they need to do to better themselves. That's part of my interpretation. I also believe that the piece is designed to assist young African-American men to stand up, to be righteous. And kind of early, like I said about the little kids, that I had to escort to those different rooms to truly walk like a man. Take responsibility for your actions. Take responsibility to be a citizen, a contributing member of society in a positive way.
Right.
And if you find your voice through the power of God, that's even better.
Yes.
Walk like a man.
Walk
be
like
a man.
Be a man.
Stand up like a man. That's what I took from it.
You know.
So every time I hear it, you know, it's just a stronger and stronger message. And also, I don't mean to talk so much, but every time I hear you talk and hear you share your work, I can understand and feel your conviction for our people. That we need to be strong.
Yes. You know, I truly believe that we need to empower, you know, go to great lengths, go to lengths, and make it purposely to empower others, but also especially those that are of the household of faith and of our own, within our own community, you know. So I think you reap when you do go to those things, empower others. It empowers you. It's a basic principle that's in God's kingdom that you tap into. That when you do truly reap what you sow, and mm-hmm. you sow empowerment in others, you yourself, God within, will start empowering you.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're going to take a short break again because I received a tweet. And, all right, hold on 1 second. We'll be right back. Okay, this is Michael Ingram with the DC Poetry Project's Power Poetics, a weekly show. We're here with our champion, Gary, from Alabama, one of our favorite people. I received a tweet from someone who wants me to play a piece by this young woman. Her name is Brittany Floyd, and she was a part of the National College Poetry Slam in 2000. So what I'm going to do, if I can cue this up really quickly, I'm going to play this piece by Brittany Floyd. All right.
We started off with a prayer. A short blessing for safe travel. We passed our past along with the baby wipes for Ashley, like we did this all the time, like white families. But we were the only ones of color beside us, workers. Being black, you're always conscious of your own small spaces. My outline keeps saying the things I was thinking in my head out loud, like, everyone is looking at us. I don't feel safe in here. I tried to calm her down by telling her something's changed in our country. But the white people here have smug black crosses painted on their foreheads and inhospitable faces when we passed by. Six black women. My mom said it was probably the Klan. My aunt agreed. Got Pitt said, if anything happens, make sure you find an exit on any side of the building. You must be prepared. White folks down south still don't like black people. Later, I found out the crosses were for Ash Wednesday for the Catholics. There has been a lot of evil done in the name of Jesus. That shit don't make me feel no safer. We had an unspoken buddy system when we used the restroom and tried to make eye contact with the workers to make a pact if we had to fight. My mom walked Ashley around and sparked conversation with the white lady whose adopted son was mixed, same age as Ashley. She told them we were headed to Birmingham. My aunt Lonnie was alarmed. She didn't want anyone trying to follow us and kill us. She tried to laugh it off by saying she hoped it doesn't turn out like those stories or movies of the South when the black people ended up hung by their necks by a fire, burning like the beef jerky still heavy on her taste buds from earlier that day. She looked behind us for about 2 miles after we left. We only stopped at the exits for the entrance. The ramp isn't far off. We packed extra snacks when it stopped in these southern states. The last time my mom came down south, she was a little girl. She got a beaten but playing on a grave site because there were no headstones. It looked like a field for playing, not a cemetery for blacks. She saw a drinking fountain that still said colors, and all the blacks lived in one neighborhood, almost like an army base. Each man armed but prepared to protect each other in case the Civil War broke out again. Our president is black, but we are still the minority on this interstate highway that our grandfathers built, afraid to take the wrong turn, use the bathroom in the wrong town, get the wrong traffic jam. I sat in the back seat covered in American flag blankets. I was tempted to put it in the window. We are proud in the back seat to be. Wrap this flag around our car so no one suspects we're black Americans. We are afraid to wave it out the window like a bullfighter. Let them know we are here. I doubt if my mother will go on any road trips after this. She's not convinced the Confederate South has changed. Our spirits are still stuck in 71 in the graveyard without the headstones. We are reminded every day what fountain we are drinking from and whose flag we hold closer to our hearts, more like a shield.
Give it up for Brittany, ladies and gentlemen.
that young woman was screaming her truth. She was screaming her truth, which I believe is so very, very important. You know, there's a piece by Claude McKay, it's very, very famous. It's called If We Must Die. And I like to recite it. If we must die, let it not be like hogs, hunted and penned in an inglorious spot, while round us bark the mad and hungry dogs, making their market our accursed lot. If we must die, oh, let us nobly die, so that our precious blood may not be shed in vain. Then even the monsters we defy shall be constrained to honor us through dead. O kinsmen, we must meet the common foe. Though far outnumbered, let us show us brave, and for their thousand blows deal one death blow. What though before us lies the open grave? Like men we'll face the murderous cowardly pack, pressed to the wall, dying, but fighting back. Are you there, Gary?
Yeah, especially that last line, dying but fighting back. That cried out to me in so many different ways. Dying
sometimes,
but fighting.
I was going to say sometimes it's very difficult to fight back with all the struggles that you may have and the difficulties or the vicissitudes of life that get in the way. Sometimes it's very difficult to fight back. You feel as if you don't have it anymore. Maybe I'm speaking from personal experience, but sometimes you feel if you don't have it anymore, that you have nothing else to give.
Well, we was built for endurance. So, I mean, there's some things that we just have to tap into to get back up and to tarry on.
Right.
Well, I mean, like I said, we was built, designed to endure.
Well, I'm going to cite this one really quickly. I think, and it goes right in line with what you just said, my friend. I guess I'm on a roll. You know this poem, Mother to Son, by Langston Hughes. He said, well, son, I'll tell you. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards turn up in places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time has been a climbing on and reaching lands and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps because you find it's kind of hard. Don't fall now, for I'm still going, honey. I'm still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Mother to son, fighting back.
Wow.
Do you have another piece for us, my friend? Would you like to comment on that one? It's just you
yeah.
and I.
Yeah, I got a piece. This is called SWV.
Okay.
After checking her out for a couple of weeks, stepping with confidence in 6-inch stilettos, she stopped near the water cooler and stood akimbo. Dang, man, she's pretty and fine, too. Sure like to hit that. Today would be the day I ask her. She's alone. Coast is clear. I approached her from behind like a bold, brave lion, and I asked, sister, why you look so angry? Immediately, she turned her neck around like in the movie The Exorcist, whipping her ponytail weave that cracked the thick tension in the air drifting between us. Her fake lashes flickered so fast, slinging mascara everywhere. You would have sworn I had black freckles on my shark face. It was as if I had just pissed off Angela Davis, Foxy Gear, Sophia in the movie Color Purple, Cleo, and Cookie all at the same time. Having fixed her composure as if she was preparing to give my eulogy, her glossy lips open and blasted out. First of all, my brother. Having recognized the tone in her voice, I knew then I was in trouble. This SWV, sister with the usually sexy voice, suddenly morphed into a SWAAA, a sister with an angry-ass attitude. Oh, shit. This timid Black Panther had just sparked a revolution. Now this sister with a vengeance began to express her resolution. Excuse me? Angry? If I am angry, it's because it's one of the many emotions that God gave us. However, it seems you only noticed this one. After failing to see, hear, or feel our passionate cries of pain, pleading to be recognized as who we are, you see, my brother, well before Eve, while we were just a rear bone, we have been by your side, surrounding and protecting your heart and supporting every breath you take. When God said, it's not good for man to be alone, he did not give you a dog to be your best friend, nor a crew, your homeboys to hang out with and haul around in the car he did not give you to trick out. No, none of that. God gave you me, a spirit, a mind, body, and soul that's the feminine reflection of his image, a woman, a wife, a helpmate. Now, mate, help me understand. Why do you think I look angry as opposed to feeling disappointed for feeling alone, abandoned, and my purpose neglected and reduced to a status of your sex toy, plaything, booty call, something to do, mistress, longtime girlfriend, video victim, or stripper? Never mind a few sisters with lack of vision made those roles easier for you. However, in their defense, yes, I look angry, and for the faithful sisters that do let you romance us and sweep us off our feet, then propose and marry to become your queen, only to once again be reduced to being the old ball and chain, your old lady, your girl or your gal or your baby mama. I look angry that all you want is a dime or a trophy to showcase or to show off under your shine, be some fleshy jewelry, a sexy piece of bling bling. What happened to the brothers that admire a lady's physical beauty, yet still much rather respect and appreciate the beauty of her mind? I look angry that to you we are no more than a soft pair of breasts to feed your seeds, or no more than a good piece of pussy to satisfy your lustful needs. Anger? Well, anger is the callous and few determination of this single mother to get 2 degrees so I can be the master of my own destiny. And I'm angry at the lack of opportunity to shut down the possibilities that 20 years from now, to be the first Black woman at anything within the American dream that we can be now, all we need is opportunity. And I'm angry that there are no more Baracks to make more Michelles. I'm angry there are too many Harriets, Sojourners, Mayors, Dorothy, Rosie, Shaniquas, and Nene's failing to maximize their full potential. There are too many Esthers, Naomis, and Ruth, and not enough Boaz, but too many broke-ass brothers rather be players than responsible dads. I'm angry for not enough kings for all the Corettas, Cleopatras, and the Neferettis. I'm angry that there are more than enough Hades and Hollies, but not enough unbiased judges to hand out more Oscars, Tonys, and Emmys. Brother, I could go on, but finally, I'm angry that as rich as our history, some of you have been persuaded by some sagging pants rapper to reduce our status to hoes and bitches. And besides, brother, have you ever thought that this look is my natural disposition? And I smile on the inside while waiting on a brother like you to help manifest it on my pretty brown face? And another thing, here I was thinking you was cute, and you was walking over here to ask me out, excited and waiting to say yes, but oh hell no, now I am really angry. My brother, I hope you think twice the next time you ask a lady why you look angry or why are you so angry. Well, you just might be the answer. That's the piece.
And the title?
SWV.
That's right, SWV. And what does that mean again?
Sister with a vengeance.
Sister with a vengeance.
Yep.
If you wrote a book, and I know you plan to write one, what would the title of your book be?
My thoughts, my gift, my thoughts, my words. From me
to you?
My thoughts, my gifts.
My gifts, mm-hmm. My thoughts, my words from me to you.
Why would that be the title?
Because that's come that I was thinking God one day, and I wrote that a long time ago, that when I was preparing the book, when I first started writing, and that was the preface, I was thanking God for my gift, mm-hmm. for my gift of words, for giving me this gift. And indeed it is a gift, and it's a gift is something you give away. So all of those all of these poems I have written, it's an anthology to be compiled. It's my gift from God, from me to you.
Well, I want you to know, once you put it out, man, I'm going to be one of the first ones to buy a copy, and you better autograph it too. Because I know it's going to be famous. I know it's going to be famous. I mean, again, week after week after week, you're just amazed and baffled with talent. It was some of these poems that you write, man, what can you say? I mean, you lay it out there so clearly, the story, the images. I mean, it's kind of hard to say what I think because it's so real. You can see it. You can see that woman.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the beginning, I think every time I've only recited it twice. And when I did, I recited it to a lady and a man at work. I know it's always getting time to close. But I think they don't get the first part. The first part of it is meant to be funny, you know, the imagery of, you know, her standing there and the weave and everything. But I think so many sisters are already on guard when they say something, oh, and it's going to be another one of those, you know, especially when they're angry. But and then at the end, they, you know, the emphasis switch, you know, totally, you know, switch. And then so that's why I was asking, what do you think, you know, from as a male, you know. And they like it, but for the first, I could tell when I'm first reading it, they're not feeling, they're not, oh, well, it's one of these male, you know. And then I'm talking about the fake, the weeds and all that stuff. But that's just to draw them and get their attention. But then it shifts, the momentum of it shifts. And so that's what I was.
I agree, it does shift. I mean, I think that's what makes it so strong, so eloquent, the fact that you're able to make a shift and the message is still there, you know, that it's still there. I mean, I don't know what to say, man. You know, again, I wish I could just take time to deconstruct your work, and that we had a workshop where we had an opportunity to just see your work on paper, you know, and just take it apart and listen to it. I mean, again, you're an incredible artist. Incredible. You know, so we're almost at the end of the hour. We've got about 30 seconds left, and I want to thank all of you for calling in and all of you for listening. This is the DC Poetry Project's weekly open mic call-in show. Gary, again, you stole the evening with your incredible work, and I want to thank Valerie, and I want to thank Kofi, and I want to thank the person who tweeted in about the poem from Brittany Floyd, which was very, very powerful. So, again, I want to say thank you and good night.
Good night, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Good night, Cole.